Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island, pairing beer and music since 1988. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago, Illinois. Listen critically, enjoy responsibly.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and now that it is July, we're in the heart of summer vacation. Greg, as you and many of our listeners know, when I am not here hosting Sound Opinions, I'm a professor at Columbia College in Chicago, so I know the importance of keeping your brain engaged, even when school is not in session. Over the summer, we're going to have a few episodes revisiting our discussions about some albums that we think are extremely important, canonic, if you will. We're calling this Sound Opinions Summer School, and class starts today.
That's right, Professor DeRogatis, and we're starting with an album dissection of Neil Young and Crazy Horse's Rust Never Sleeps, which is celebrating its 40th anniversary this summer.
What you're hearing is the first track from that record, My My Hey Hey Out of the Blue, the acoustic version of the song that actually frames the album. Neil Young does an acoustic version up top, closes with the electric version. It really tells the story of this record.
The album came out in 1979. It was one of dozens of albums that Neil Young has released over his career. Jim, you and I immediately lasered in on this record when we talked about, let's do a dissection of one of Neil Young's records. Both of us said, Rust Never Sleeps is the one. I don't know about you, but I think for me, this album represented a key point in an artist's career where he had to make a decision. He could go one way or another, the proverbial fork in the road.
Yeah.
He was the first of that 60s generation of artists who had made a lot of bread in the 60s and had come to a lot of fame and had a fairly successful 70s, albeit in a checkered fashion. He was up and down, but he was still selling lots of records. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, that name was iconic. He could tour with those guys anytime and do stadium tours. And all of a sudden, something happened. 76, 77. Remember the summer of hate in England. Punk rock comes along. And how would these vintage rockers respond? Well, Neil Young's response, above all others, I think, was unique. He was the one guy that got it, and this was the album that said, not only do I get it, but I'm going to trump all of you. I'm going to trump my peers, and I'm going to go toe-to-toe with the Sex Pistols and the Ramones and show you how it's done.
Well, you have to remember the context. You know, you have the Rolling Stones suddenly realizing we better up our game. All these punks are making us look old. Here's Some Girls. And, you know, you have Yes giving you Going for the One and bands like that. Everybody's stripping down and wondering what it's about. But Young had gone over to England in the middle of 1977. There is a phenomenal article that Cameron Crowe wrote in 1979 for Rolling Stone called Neil Young, The Last American Hero. And Young tells Cameron here, I first knew something was going on when we visited England a year and a half ago. Kids were tired of the rock stars and the limousines and the abusing of stage privileges as stars. There was this new music the kids were listening to. As soon as I heard my contemporaries saying, God, what is this? This is going to be over in 3 months. I knew it was a sure sign right there that they were going to bite it if they didn't watch out. A lot of them are biting it this year. People are not going to come back and see the same thing over and over again. It's got to change. It's the snake that eats itself. Punk music, new wave, call it what you want. It's rock and roll to me, and it's still the basis of what's going on. And it has been the basis of Young's entire career, whether he's been in acoustic mode, whether he's been in electric mode, whether he's been playing with synthesizers. You know, he has always been about evolving and moving forward. And there's kind of a funny story about the album that preceded Rust Never Sleeps, Comes a Time, a perfectly fine but not great Neil Young album. He was sick to death of it by the time it came out because he was excited by this new music coming from the Lower East Side of Manhattan and coming from England. He was very excited about this new album, which he proceeds to record mostly live, in large part live, in the Cow Palace in San Francisco. There are some overdubs added, and there's an avalanche of product. There's the album Rust Never Sleeps, which we're focusing on. There's a double live album called Live Rust, comes from the same period and time. And there's a movie called Rust Never Sleeps that's a concert film.
Young's connection with punk was apt, Jim, because one of the key connections, one of the key inspirations for this album was that Ohio art punk band Devo. Circuitous connection made here. There were tapes of early Devo tracks circulating among certain rock intelligentsia. David Bowie had one. Iggy Pop had one. Dean Stockwell, a sort of a hanger-on of that scene, Hollywood actor by day, a rock star by night, had a copy. His girlfriend, Toni Basil, got a copy.
The choreographer turned pop star in the 80s.
Which Stockwell had heard. Stockwell, in turn, gave it to Young. Young was blown away. What is this? I've never heard anything like this. These guys are amazing. So he ends up meeting Mark Mothersbaugh and company from Akron. They come out to San Francisco, and they start working on the tail end of this film, Human Highway, with him. That is a just total chaotic affair. I mean, Dennis Hopper is involved, right? That should tell you something.
Well, as his alter ego, Bernard Shakey, Neil Young has fantasized that he's been a film director throughout his career, and this was one of the periods where he's behind the camera.
Right. So Young is working on this song, Hey, Hey, My, My, Into the Black. And along the way, Devo starts working with him on the song. Young is asking them to perform the song in the movie, and they Devo it up. I mean, they come do this warped version of the song. Along the way, he gets to talking to these guys, and he hears them dropping this line, Rust Never Sleeps. He says, where's that from? These guys used to be in the advertising world in their early days back in Ohio, and this was one of the graphic design elements they used for a rust-proofing company
Rust-Oleum
that they were working for.
Rust-Oleum spray paint.
Rust Never Sleeps. Young thought that was just brilliant. In some ways, it coalesced the album for him. What is this album about? It is about obsolescence. It's about, is it better to burn out or to fade away? He was facing that very question with his own career. The punks were bringing him to the brink, questioning his real value.
He is gone, but he's not forgotten. This is the story of Johnny Rotten. It's better to burn out than it is to rust. He is gone, but he's not forgotten.
It needs to be said that not only in 1977 did we have this explosion of punk in England that Neil Young witnessed firsthand, but also the death of Elvis Presley in August of 77. So somehow, you know, everything, the cosmos was realigning.
Yeah.
The old rock and roll was dying. The new one was coming up. Neil Young was trying to decide, where do I fit in? And with the help of Devo, he developed a theme for this record. Suddenly comes a time, didn't sound so cool anymore.
Right.
And suddenly this new thing that he was working on needed to be done. It needs to be said as well that Young preferred to work backwards. It was not about going into the studio, creating a record, and then going out and touring it. It was about touring the record first,
yeah,
and then making that record. And in this case, taking the live versions of those songs that he played on a 1978 tour, primarily in San Francisco, but also from other sites as well, and recording those songs, draining out the crowd noise, so it was just almost an eerie background effect, and culling those songs and making it this record. Jim, I think it's fascinating that in the context of punk rock, the death of Elvis, etc., he still did a record that in many ways is the best of all Neil Young worlds. It wasn't going to be just one thing. Half acoustic, half electric. Both sides equally profound, but there was a punk ethos about even the acoustic songs on this record.
Yeah, there certainly was, and you can see it in the film. Again, I don't want to dwell on the concert movie, but one of the things that's really important to remember is that the stage props for this tour were giant oversized amplifiers, a giant microphone, okay? And he's on stage in front of this 20-foot microphone and these 40-foot amps, right? What is that about? Young told Cameron Crowe that I felt dwarfed by the music industry. The music industry had gotten so big, so bloated, so corporate, so soulless. I didn't know where I fit in anymore. That's Neil Young in 78. I mean, mm-hmm. think about it today, right? I think it was brave to open with an acoustic set, as you said, and to stand there alone with that acoustic guitar in an arena, which is always a brave move, but in the middle of punk. There are many hardcore heavy metal fans that I grew up with, hipster punk rockers at that time. Everybody loved Neil Young. He would sing Sugar Mountain, and the most hard-ass rock fan would get a tear in his eye, mm-hmm. okay? You had to love him because there was a soul in that music, no matter how he was playing it, whether he was going back to what he always called his best band ever, Crazy Horse. For the thousands of nights they've done on the road, Young has always maintained, I have never had a bad night when I was playing with Crazy Horse. They were at the top of their game here, but he was at the top of his game acoustically as well, and that's where we're going to pick up after a quick break. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.